The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to this deep dive.
Today we are taking a shortcut, really, through one of the most powerful and, let's be honest, sometimes bewildering fields of modern science, fertility technology.
Yeah, it's a big one.
We're going deep into Donna J. Drucker's book, Fertility Technology: A Social and Historical Overview.
And this book, it feels almost mandatory if you want to understand modern life, doesn't it?
It really does.
Drucker gets right to it, showing us that fertility tech isn't just, you know, a clinic visit or a set of procedures. She calls it a complex socio-technical system.
Socio-technical system.
Right? Yeah, meaning it fundamentally changes not just how we reproduce, but also how society thinks about family, what parenthood even means.
The scale of that shift is just huge. I mean, once you start intervening in reproduction, the donor egg surrogacy genetic screening, you bump up against every traditional idea about family lineage.
Exactly.
And Drucker's work helps us unpack those really profound questions it raises about, well, access control.
And who gets to decide, right? Who gets to decide what a good family looks like in this new landscape?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to tackle a subject this big, you really need a guide with, let's say, specialized vision. And that's Donna J. Drucker.
Right. What's her background?
Her expertise is genuinely interdisciplinary. It's like her superpower. She brings together history of science, technology studies, and reproductive medicine.
That blend feels essential for this topic. You absolutely need someone who can grasp the science in the lab,
but also understand the, you know, the legal stuff, the cultural stories swirling around that science.
Yeah, the context.
She's perfectly positioned for it. She's researched how science and tech shape gender and identity before. So she really sees those cultural pressure points. She gets the context that often drives the science itself.
And what I really appreciate about her approach is the balance.
Yeah.
It's noticeable. Mm-hmm. She's not framing these technologies as like the end of the world, nor is she just cheering for science without question.
No rose-tinted glasses.
Not at all. It's a genuinely critical analysis, but she manages to make these super complex medical, legal, and social issues understandable. You don't need a PhD to get it.
Right. She respects the science, but her focus is clearly on what it all means for society.
So the book itself, Fertility Technology, how does it operate?
Well, it kind of works on two tracks at once, seamlessly integrated. First, it's definitely a necessary introduction to the practical side, assisted reproductive technologies, RT.
Okay, the basics.
Yeah, what the procedures are. But I think more importantly, it's a critical look at how these technologies actually function within these huge social, economic, political systems. It's like a guide to the whole ecosystem of making babies today, not just the biology bit.
An ecosystem. I like that. And she takes us on quite a journey through time.
Oh, absolutely. It's chronological. Starts way back with ancient folk remedies showing this desire for control over reproduction isn't new. It's ancient.
Right. Millennia old.
Then moves up through the big 20th century breakthroughs and into the current landscape, which she calls this menu of advanced reproductive tools, ICSI, PGD, all the acronyms.
And it's not just a Western story, is it?
Definitely not. She anchors it in a global context, really digs deep into the social side, especially how access is so unevenly spread based on race, class, where you live.
The inequality aspect.
Yeah, she forces us to look at the tough realities of regulations, the global market, including this huge thing called reproductive tourism.
Okay, let's dive into that historical part first. You said Drucker emphasizes this isn't a new concern.
Right. Long before labs and microscopes, people were using folk remedies, spiritual practices, anything they could think of to try and influence conception.
So the desire was always there.
Always. And this history really sets the stage for a key concept: the medicalization of fertility and infertility.
Medicalization, meaning turning it into a medical problem.
Exactly. It's a critical shift. Things that might have just been accepted as fate or dealt with traditionally gradually got redefined by science as medical conditions needing technical fixes. That whole way of thinking had to happen first to even create modern reproductive endocrinology.
Okay, but hang on. Isn't defining infertility as a medical problem actually helpful? I mean, it leads to treatments. Where does Drucker see the line or the tension?
That's precisely the tension she explores. Because that medical framing opens the door to this idea of social infertility.
Social infertility? What's that?
This is where the difficulty conceiving isn't strictly biological, like no blocked tubes or low sperm count. It's more about the inability to conceive because of social circumstances.
Like what?
Think about people delaying having kids until their late 30s because of career pressures or economic instability. or maybe same-sex couples who need donor gametes. The reason they need the tech isn't a biological defect in the traditional sense.
Ah, I see. So the technology steps in as a solution to a social issue, fixing a timeline crunch, or providing missing biological components.
Precisely. It's being used as a social solution, which forces us to look way beyond the clinic walls, you know.
Right. It connects back to economics, career paths, social norms. Wow. Okay. But the real seismic shift, the game changer, that came in the mid-20th century.
Undeniably. The IVF revolution, this moment really centered on the work of physiologist Robert Edwards and gynecologist Patrick Steptoe.
And they faced a lot of pushback, didn't they?
Oh, immense criticism. Ethical panic from the public, even skepticism from parts of the scientific community.
Yeah.
But they pushed through.
And their success was, well, world-changing. The birth of Louise Brown in 1978.
The first test tube baby. That was the proof. It took IVF from this controversial theory, this what-if, into clinical reality.
It seems so commonplace now, IVF, but you have to imagine the shockwaves back then. People were genuinely worried about, like, designer babies, the future of humanity.
Total moral panic. But once that door was opened, the technology just blossomed. Or maybe exploded is a better word. You mentioned Drucker's menu of tools.
Yeah, the alphabet soup of art.
Right. So you get techniques like ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection. Huge deal for male infertility. Injecting one sperm directly into the egg.
Solved a major barrier.
And then cryopreservation, freezing eggs and embryos, which offers this radical new control over timing.
Which feeds right back into that social infertility area we were just discussing. Freezing eggs buys time against the biological clock, often for social or economic reasons.
Exactly. But here's where Drucker points to a really significant evolution, maybe a turning point in the purpose of the technology. That's the development of PGD.
Pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. Okay, break that down.
PGD is screening embryos before they're implanted. You create embryos via IVF, test them genetically, and then choose which ones to transfer.
And why is that such a critical turning point?
Because, Drucker argues, this is where RT shifts. It moves beyond just overcoming infertility, which you could call therapy, and towards the power to select certain traits or, more commonly, screen out diseases or genetic conditions.
Right. So the goal isn't just, can we have a child? It starts to become, what kind of child should we have? Or can we avoid this kind of child?
Mm-hmm. And that immediately escalates the ethical conversation towards selection, potentially even enhancement down the line. It's a different territory.
And this kind of advanced tech PGD, it's got to be incredibly expensive.
Extremely. Which brings us right back to Drucker's sharp analysis of access and this term she uses, stratified reproduction.
Stratified reproduction. That phrase just nails it, doesn't it?
It really does. It encapsulates how access is fundamentally layered, stratified, based on wealth, insurance coverage, national policies.
So if you're in a country without insurance mandates for fertility treatment, or you just don't have the money,
your ability to access these potentially life-changing technologies is drastically limited. It's a stark reflection of broader social inequality.
And where you have restrictions or high costs in one place.
The market finds a way. Which leads directly to reproductive tourism or cross-border care.
People traveling for treatment.
Yes. Often individuals from wealthier nations travel elsewhere to get procedures that are cheaper or maybe access services like commercial surrogacy that are illegal where they live.
It's incredible how the most intimate part of life, creating a family, becomes entangled in global economics. Reproductive labor gets outsourced, often leveraging those global wealth gaps.
Absolutely. Which leads us nicely into Drucker's major themes that run through the book.
Mm-hmm.
The first big one is this idea that technology is a social construction.
Okay, what does that mean exactly? That the tech isn't neutral? It's shaped by us, by society.
Precisely. The very way we frame infertility, like the idea that a couple must seek treatment after, say, a year of trying that's culturally specific. It's not a universal biological fact.
Right.
And Drucker points out that by focusing so intensely on the technical fix, the procedure, we often overlook or ignore the underlying structural factors.
Like what?
Like poor working conditions that make pregnancy risky, or massive student debt forcing people to delay families, or environmental toxins affecting fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on the IVF cycle can sometimes distract from those bigger societal issues.
That's a powerful point. Economic policy is fertility policy, in a way, even if we don't label it as such. Okay, theme two.
The deconstruction and redefinition of kinship. This is a big one.
How so?
Well, RT makes it possible to separate roles that used to be bundled together. The genetic parent, like an egg or sperm donor, the gestational parent, the surrogate carrying the pregnancy, and the social parents, the ones who raise the child.
Right. You can have three distinct contributors to one child's existence.
Exactly. And this immediately creates legal and social friction. It forces society, often through messy court cases, to ask fundamental questions. What defines a parent legally? Is it genetics, gestational labor, the intention to raise the child?
The very definition of parent is being actively redefined by these technologies.
Wow.
Okay, and the third theme?
Theme three is absolutely crucial. The centrality of women's bodies and labor.
Meaning?
Meaning that despite all the high-tech gloss, the whole process still relies overwhelmingly on the physical and emotional labor of women.
Right. Even with male infertility treatments like ICSI, the partner usually undergoes significant procedures, too.
Mm-hmm. The hormonal injections, the invasive egg retrieval, the pregnancy itself, if carried by the intended mother, the recovery, or the entire process undertaken by a surrogate. Drucker really forces us to see this often invisible reproductive labor that makes the miracle of art possible.
So it connects the clinic directly to broader issues of gender equality and valuing women's labor.
Absolutely. It's a medical issue, yes,
right,
but deeply intertwined with gender dynamics.
Drucker's book sounds like it's full of these really sharp, memorable insights.
It really is. She has a way of crystallizing complex ideas.
Let's pull out maybe three key ideas, sort of like quotes that capture the essence of her argument for listeners.
Okay. First one I'd highlight is, fertility technology is never just about making babies. It's about making families. And making families means making society.
Ooh, I like that. It zooms out immediately.
Right. It just hammers home the ripple effect. It's not contained to the clinic. It shapes kinship, law, social norms, everything.
It makes you realize every policy decision about fertility, tech insurance, surrogacy laws, whatever, is essentially a choice about what kind of society we want to build. Okay, what's another one?
Second key idea. Access to fertility technology reveals society's deepest assumptions about who deserves to reproduce and under what conditions.
That's pretty confronting.
It is. It challenges you, me, everyone, to look at insurance policies, government funding, clinic costs, not just as practical matters, but as moral statements. Who are we implicitly saying is worthy or capable of parenthood?
And are we accidentally or purposefully reinforcing existing divides like class or race through who gets access? Heavy stuff. Okay, one more.
And a final one, especially important for critical thinking. The promise of technological solutions to fertility problems can obscure the social and structural factors that contribute to reproductive challenges in the first place.
Ah, back to the idea of not just treating the symptom.
Exactly. It's Drucker's call to look upstream. Yes, help people who need RT, but also let's address the economic pressures, the environmental factors, the public health issues that might be contributing to rising infertility rates or delayed childbearing. Don't just offer expensive band-aids.
That's a call for a much more holistic approach. So, thinking practically, how can listeners use this framework from Drucker's book, say, if someone is considering RT?
Well, her work provides a fantastic template for genuinely informed decision-making.
Beyond just the clinic's success rates.
Way beyond. It encourages you to really critically examine the total cost, not just the financial hit, which is huge, but the emotional toll, the physical demands, and to think through the complex ethical choices, like what to do with surplus embryos or understand the real risks and dynamics if you're considering cross-border care.
That seems incredibly valuable. And what about for people working in the field or policymakers?
For them, the book is almost like a roadmap for creating more equitable services. Really internalizing this concept of stratified reproduction should ideally fuel advocacy for things like insurance mandates, for finding ways to ensure access isn't just a privilege for the wealthy.
Making it more of a right than a luxury.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, on a more personal level, for anyone who is struggling with fertility, Drucker's analysis can be incredibly validating.
How so?
It shows that your personal struggle isn't happening in a vacuum. It's not just some isolated personal failing. It's deeply connected to these larger social, economic, sometimes even political systems. It can help maybe externalize some of the blame and stress.
That sense of connection to something bigger could be really powerful. Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive into Drucker's work, what's the one insight or idea that's really sticking with you the most?
For me, I think it's the constant, unavoidable challenge posed by bioethics in this field. Specifically, that slippery slope from therapy to enhancement.
Right, the PGD issue we talked about.
Exactly. Once you have the power to screen out undesirable traits with PGD, you're inevitably gaining power to shape the next generation in very profound ways. Drucker makes it so clear that society is nowhere near consensus on where the ethical line should be drawn.
And that tension is only going to increase as the tech gets more sophisticated, right? Thinking about things like CRISPR gene editing down the road.
Precisely. The potential power is immense, and the ethical grappling is lagging behind.
That feels like the perfect final thought, actually. Drucker ultimately demonstrates how technological innovation consistently, maybe inevitably, outpaces our legal and ethical frameworks.
Yeah, the tech moves faster than the conversation.
Which leaves us, all of us, with a really crucial question. As these technologies keep offering more and more control over reproduction and the traits of the next generation, how do we ensure we have genuinely democratic, inclusive deliberation about how they're used? How do we stop these incredibly powerful tools from just making existing inequalities even worse?
That's the challenge Drucker leaves us with. No easy answers.
Definitely something to keep thinking about. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Katra Foundation.